Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 6th, 223rd day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff and getting to be a fire guy, Mike Downey.
Yeah. Hey, did you like the way I held up that sign with the date today? So
yeah.
You knew what
yeah.
it was? Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Don't want to break your heart, but it was upside down.
That's the way things have been lately.
Yeah. No kidding. Oh, our quote this morning comes from Kim Campbell in 1986, quote, "Charisma without substance is a dangerous thing."
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to remember that one today.
No reference to the debates tonight.
No, not at all.
Oh, boy.
Talk about fireworks, yeah.
Yeah, no
maybe,
kidding.
Maybe.
No kidding. Real quick, how'd reggae go?
You know, reggae was very low on the radar for me with all the fires going on. I do know we had no major reports out of there. I think we had one incident of notoriety that was reported. Other than that, it went very well from what I understand.
Okay, you said notoriety. Give us some.
There was an accusation of possibly a rape at reggae, but other than that, it was you know pretty normal and no real major issues. And
in something like that, do your guys go into the event then?
Yes.
Or, I mean, how do you, Jason? Because they've got their guys, and then your guys are kind of.
No, you know,
right?
Yeah, we go into the event. You know, I used to when I was down there, I'd walk down there once or twice a day just to fly the colors, so to speak. So we'll go into the event.
Wearing the wig?
Yeah. No. I didn't wear the wig.
You don't have one of those regular wigs?
No, I used to. Well, my hair was longer
yeah.
and not so gray.
yeah, balding gray reggae wig probably isn't going to score too many points.
No, it didn't go over. It didn't bode well.
Oh, boy.
But reggae went well.
Good. Couple more arrests, couple more deaths. Same old in the last month.
Yeah, things are going along as normal, if you want to put it that way. But, yeah, we've been busy. Now with the fire part added in, that's even busier. Marijuana season is in full swing. We're busy with that. So there's plenty going on.
You know, one of the things, and, you know, being the mutant that I truly am, almost a perverse thought process for me with the fires going on through all this public forest that is not being managed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So nobody's in there. Except you guys go in there, and the pot farmers are in there. You know where I'm going with this thing.
I think so.
I wonder if they're as panicked as anybody else is, and is it more dangerous now because of some of the diesel stuff and some of the things that are in these grows that do have an explosive potential?
Well, I do know one thing. You know, you bring up a good point about the folks that live out in some of these more rural areas. And they're doing their best to suppress whatever fire issues they're having around their own properties, and some of them are doing a really really good job at it, because they realize that law enforcement and fire are going to be slower to respond because of all the activity throughout the state. You know, I was at the fire camp in Redway yesterday, and their concern now is resources being pulled away.
Yeah, that'll help them sleep well tonight.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. Yeah, it's 8:19.
Never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, with the fires that are going on, it's got to be kind of an intriguing thing. I know you've got your buds who are in fire, so you can rely on them. But to see and monitor some of these things, either through OES or through the Sheriff's Department proper, what kind of sense do you have? How is the situation right now? I know we'll talk with Ken next week also, right. but how does it look this week?
Well, there's still a lot of information being gathered and some misinformation being gathered, and I think there's still some confusion on to actually what's going on the ground. I know the Forest Service is, you know, they're a federal agency, and then Cal Fire, which is a state agency, they're both fighting different aspects of the fire based upon the lands that it's on, the public lands, private lands. I know they try to coordinate as much as they can. I think there's still some uncertainty as to just how vibrant these fires are. I know they're burning pretty well. The fires, the Humboldt Lightning Complex, let's call it, out towards Blocksburg and out that way, it seems as though Cal Fire is doing a good job getting that buttoned up. There are still some hot spots or some fires that are unchecked or in some really rough terrain. They're having to fight. I think my biggest concern, you know, I'm obviously the director of OES, and I coordinate all the stuff we need to mitigate evacuations and that kind of thing. Our biggest concern is the fires that are burning in Trinity County that are now creeping towards Humboldt.
The Denny one or the one that's on 36?
The one on 36 and then the one up in the north area, which would have been the old Megrim fire. So all those.
New Orleans.
Right, yeah, okay. coming through that way. So if you look on a map that shows the burn area up there, it's just a few ridges away from Willow Creek. So we're gonna again have problems with smoke and that type of thing.
Yeah, the whole inversion layer laying down
right.
in the valleys. Yeah,
right.
And that's when something like that happens with the folks that are sensitive, the breathing.
Right.
Are there monies for them to leave? Do they leave? Do they come to the coast? Do you bring in another level of filtering, whatever it is? I mean, right. What flexibility, what choices are there for them?
Well, we've already started air monitoring with North Coast Air Quality. So there's set up stations throughout the county. So we're measuring that right now. So, you know, this happened with the Megrim fire in 99. It happened with the fires we had just two or three years ago where the smoke inundation was so heavy. In the Hoopaw Valley, Willow Creek area, that there were some evacuation requests due to smoke. Probably wasn't to the level it was in 99. In 1999, we did evacuate people out of the area because of the smoke issue.
Yeah, that was just, it laid in long, too.
Right, in long. I mean, there were times you couldn't even see across the street during the day because it was so smoky. So, you know, we're being sensitive to that. We could reach another point where we would have to deal with evacuations, voluntary evacuations, those that wish to leave because of that. So what? Basically, through Office of Emergency Services, we were at a activation level one right now, which I just basically have my director down there or my manager down there in the basement, you know, managing that part of it.
You know, that sounds so
I know.
Draconian. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the shackles?
Yeah,
they're still
shackles.
Intact? Yeah.
Yeah. But we still. Draconian. What we do is we start capturing the costs associated with these types of things because now that there's a state of emergency declared at the state level, you know, there's a funding source there to help reimburse our costs for dealing with the fires, the smoke, and all those kind of issues.
I would think with everybody that's available out on the fires already, we heard, 9,000 at Clear Lake?
I thought it was 9,000 statewide.
Oh, it was statewide, 9,000?
That's what I thought.
Okay, so maybe CBS is running, they got some.
I know. We have about 1,200 on our out of Camp 31, I believe, personnel.
Well, then we got these other two that you're talking about also. It's interesting. It's intriguing for me because when you go through these areas, normal time. Steep mountains. Forests. Not thinking. You know, you never look at it like a fireman unless you are one or in the family. There's a lot of these areas you can't stop this.
Right.
does it gain momentum, or do you guys anticipate the move with either OES and then trying to coordinate all these various entities, whether it's volunteers or the right. state or the federal guys, or do they kind of operate as separate pods?
Well, sometimes they operate as separate pods. Right now, like the fires up north we were talking about, or outside of Willow Creek, Orleans, that's truly in wilderness area, and those fires are burning. They really don't have much personnel on those fires because assets are being used elsewhere in the state.
Oh, it's not the wilderness designation. It's just that there are not enough bodies to throw.
That's part of it. That's part of it. I think so. Right now, those fires are burning. I wouldn't say unchecked. They're being monitored. I think they're doing what they can, but they don't have a lot of personnel on those. Once that creeps out of the wilderness area, obviously things will probably change, especially if it starts threatening other habitat. So right now, we're cautiously watching those fires up there.
Well, you got all the enviro words down, huh? Threatening yeah. other habitat?
Well, you know.
You mean, okay, fine.
Being sensitive to that.
Yeah. I don't want to undo your last couple of years of learning all that stuff, so we'll just kind of slide into a break. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Sheriff and Environmental Guy, Mike Downey.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Downey,
Don't say it.
Mike, as you look at what is going on now, how frustrated are you with some of the practices, some of the philosophies, some of the attitudes that kind of seem to take a second seat, whether it's federal, state, or local? And then we have a situation. Now it's fire. I mean, you can say earthquake. You could say floods. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, all kind of the same for this. And all of a sudden, then people start scrambling. And you're right. oh, my, I didn't know. How come we didn't? Blah, blah, blah.
It's coordination.
Well, and forethought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of nice to think things through in advance and then implement.
Well, you know, we train after we have an emergency. We train for the next emergency, but then historically, it starts to wane, and then we have to make sure that we're prepared for the next one. But that's being able to anticipate when the next one is. So you'll get an influx of training, you'll get an influx of knowledge going out to those that are involved in mitigating these issues, and then because we don't have an issue for a number of years. That historical knowledge goes away. We can look at it with crowd control issues. We can look at it with all those things where we have an incident. We train our deputies and police officers in the proper way to do crowd control movements and how to deal with crowds and that type of thing. And then we don't have an incident for a while, so then we have to all of a sudden say we need to bring that back. We need to do some more training. So there's such a multifaceted. Complex world we live in, trying to keep track and on top of everything is tough. Let's look at the Office of Emergency Services. We have, I would say, anywhere between 15 and 20 mitigation plans for different incidences that could happen.
Mitigation means response?
Yeah. We have dam breaks, floods, fires, anything that could be disaster-related. We have completed the plans on those. So we have a book, we have a plan that we can go to if something happens. But those constantly have to be updated too, because things change. The environment changes, you know, the technology changes.
Laws changing. Or personnel changing.
Exactly.
Do people know where the books are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We dust them off.
That would be number one step, right? Remember where the books are.
Right. No, I feel pretty good about our manning of OES at this point. A person I have managing it is doing a great job, and she's very well versed with all the plans we have and can go to those, and we have other people with depth of knowledge too that we can go to those and pull those out and put them into practice. So we have a blueprint. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we do it. And we can, you know, muster those forces pretty quickly.
That's what I was going to ask, the time factor. Okay, the plans are there. Things change. You know,
right.
I don't know. You were here with the last major earthquake, but you weren't wearing 4 stars at the last major earthquake. Okay.
Last tsunami I was, though.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, there you go.
So with the changes in areas of different responsibility, how often can you train? Because I would think between training and institutional knowledge or personal experience, that's what you're going to rely on. Well, if I was doing this job function last time and I wasn't doing what I currently am doing, I knew that happened, but I don't remember what happened.
Well, let's put it this way.
Response-wise.
Law enforcement and fire, we live in a disaster-laden environment. I mean, that's our life. That's our job.
That's why you are here.
That's why we are here, yeah. So when something happens, our mindset is already there. We're ready to step into that realm. It may take us an hour or two to get into the routine of doing it. I always equate it every time we open up our EOC, Emergency Operations Center, because of a disaster or a potential disaster. I can watch that EOC evolve. About the first hour and a half, we're all a little off, just a little bit off, trying to get it all together. But within an hour or two, we're all cohesive and we're working well, and information's going out, and everybody knows their job, and we do practice that kind of thing, and we do have people specified for different positions within the EOC that know their job.
That's what I was wondering. I know Troy does his tidal wave preparation each March or April. I can't remember the last major earthquake or major fire or flood that was a community-wide. Okay, guys, we're going to dry run this one for 6 hours. We're not going to tell you when it's going to start. We're just going to do it.
Right.
Trigger whenever you do. And see how the parts play. The thought that I have, I mean, just to be merry sunshine, you got the fire going. Okay. Now let's throw in a major earthquake.
Right.
Okay. Now your OES is stretched one way. Now they have to respond differently. You got Red Cross going two different ways. You've got state, you've got federal, you got all these, and everybody's stretched thin already. Do you ever practice multiple simultaneous?
Yeah, we have. You know, you bring up an interesting point. Back in 07, I was in a long-term educational opportunity through POST, and it was called Command College. And I actually had to prepare a thesis at the end of that. And mine was dealt with a natural disaster. If a natural disaster would hit that was on a national or state level, what would the refugee impact be to Humboldt County? Because we are
coming in,
right,
or going out?
Coming in.
Oh.
You know, let's say we had very little impact from let's say it's a military issue or something like that. You know, what would be the impact of those people coming through? And it was pretty amazing to go through that process and to see what it could potentially do to these smaller counties, population smaller in population, and people coming through here going to other areas to get away from that. So, I mean, it's a multifaceted issue, and there's people that they live their lives dealing with disaster. How do we mitigate disaster? How do we deal with disaster? And there are gurus out there that are the experts.
The real pros.
Yeah, the real pros.
Yeah.
And but yet they miss the mark too, because you can't always,
Well, Katrina's one.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you think everything's okay, but the levee wasn't supported properly.
Huh?
And then it lets go, and it shouldn't have.
Well,
whoops, surprise.
the Twin Towers when they went down. I mean, those are massive damage, massive collateral damage type issues. And how do you deal with those? How do you manage those? You have to have these plans in place. You have to have teams that know what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to respond. And you got to make sure they respond properly when they do.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Sheriff Mike. When you heard about some of the Measure Z monies going to different places, or discussion, you know, the airport is getting some. You got the garbage cleanup on the Eel River. Are those things that, from your perspective, comfortably fit the definition of what the monies were to be used for?
You know, you could put that in the category of public safety. You know, I think that fits into that into that category. And obviously, I was on the Measure Z committee. We had some very robust discussions about, you know, what was acceptable, what was not. But then again, it comes down to the Board of Supervisors to make their decision. They pretty much went down the line with what the committee came up with a few modifications here and there and changes. But I think you could make that argument for those. I would have, I asked for $3.5 million and I pretty much got what I wanted. I could have easily gone for much more, but I have to be realistic as to what I can bring on in a short period of time as far as personnel to expend those funds properly. So, it's hard to... I'm looking to hire 31 people. I've already started utilizing Measure Z funds with some of the hirings that I've done. So it's tough.
Tough hiring people?
It is. It's a tough job market out there.
I bet you it's easier than letting people go, though.
Yeah. But I'm competing with other agencies in town.
That's what I understand. Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thank you.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody else. See you then.